From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right to our phone calls. First up is Ben in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Ben.
How you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
I had a quick question. John called in in regards to a friend or someone told him about UFOs and I think DNA and all that good stuff and asked, you know, was it demons that were, you know, messing with people's DNA? And obviously you said there's no scriptural reference to the demons, obviously making human form. Only angels could do that. But I was wondering, is it true that, demons might be able to take form of as UFOs? Obviously, I don't know what your thoughts were on that.
No, the point is they can't take physical form. They're non-physical, non-corporeal beings. And they do not have the prerogative of creation, and therefore they can't materialize in any form whatsoever.
But it also says, like a lot of UFO sightings, obviously, are more lights than anything, than actual physical things, other than, you know, people seeing lights in the sky. And then it also made me think, I heard a preacher talk about how in Genesis, when it talks about the creation, and when God made the firmament in the heavens, he never said that it was good, but he said that it was good about everything else. And kind of, I didn't know what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I mean, this has nothing to do with UFOs. And everything that God created was good. What God does is by nature good. It's by definition good. God does everything perfectly. And everything that we experience is fallen for one reason, and that is the advent of sin. But God does all things well. And I would say that hard evidence on UFOs is very difficult to come up with. And what you generally have people going to as a fallback position is that there's a giant conspiracy theory or a cover-up, and that's why we don't have any hard evidence on UFOs. And they're saying that we should, in some sense, believe in aliens or UFOs because we're getting messages from them, and the message is that we have to accelerate our technological and spiritual evolution in order to avert global catastrophe, and they're the masters of the universe that can teach us exactly how to do that.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Hank. I think I was more trying to say that it seems like people, when they buy into the UFO, they start to doubt God's word, and I feel like, you know, the devil started out by having people doubt God's word in the Garden of Eden. And I thought, you know, through, you know, demons or making light shows in the sky or whatever, it would actually make people doubt God's word. So there could be something behind that. I don't believe in UFOs myself. I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. If it is used to, you know, make people doubt God's word, you know.
We have the world, the flesh, and the devil as our enemies. And we are called to look at the evidence. God has given us not blind faith, but faith in evidence. And therefore, we're called as believers not only to look at the evidence, but to be able to communicate the evidence that the Word of God is an infallible repository of redemptive revelation, that it can be trusted, that it corresponds to reality. But as for the misappropriation of Scripture, where people take passages in Genesis, the one you mentioned in Genesis 1, as well as the more predominant passage in Genesis chapter 6, and then they reroute or re-reason it or use it as a pretext for something that is decidedly untrue, therein lies the problem. Now, I'm not saying that the Bible absolutely precludes the possibility of aliens. It doesn't. But by the same token, you cannot use the passages that are so often adduced to point to the possibility of aliens or UFOs. It simply does not correspond to the meaning of the passage. The meaning of the passage is clear, and unfortunately, there are all kinds of conspiracy theories and conspiracy buffs in the Christian world out there that are distorting the meaning of Scripture so that they can build their own cottage industries. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Andy in Austin, Minnesota. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I thank God for your ministry and yourself, and thank you for taking my call, and I keep you in my prayers and everyone at PRI.
Bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. I was listening to a preacher talk about being slain in the spirit, that he fell down as if he was dead or something in that line. I picked up slain in the spirit, and then I want to know if what is this all about, and is this guy legit? Should I not listen to him, or?
Well, I don't know who you're talking about, but I would say the phenomenon itself is not legitimate. In fact, there's no basis for this idea whatsoever in Scripture. It's conspicuous by its absence in the ministry of Jesus and the apostles, and it's inconsistent with a biblical worldview. So the first point that I would want to make here and emphasize and underscore in red letters is that Scripture plainly offers no support for this phenomenon as something to be expected in the normal Christian life. Not only that, but the experience of being slain in the spirit can be attributed to mere human manipulation, whether it's autosuggestion or group peer pressure or simply a desire to experience the phenomenon. And these kinds of techniques, this social psychological manipulation, is fertile soil for satanic and spiritual deception. And then I would also say that this has more in common with occultism than with a biblical worldview. In a biblical worldview, we're called to be alert and sober-minded because we have an enemy. And he's like a roaring lion seeking to devour and destroy. Therefore, we should never be in an altered state of consciousness. In fact, this is akin to occultism, not to a biblical worldview.
Okay, thank you, Hank. And what about this guy that healing with touching people and claiming that he's healing people? Is this guy legit?
Well, whoever it is, whether it's Benny Hinn or one of the other popular...
Yeah, I think it was Benny Hinn. That's
yeah. Well, no, it's not legitimate. In fact, I've spent considerable time with Benny Hinn personally, and I asked him to give me his best evidence on miracles that he claims, whether it's resurrections from the dead or healing blind eyes or backs or whatever it might be. And after a while, he sent me his three best documented cases. We researched all of them, and I demonstrate in Christianity in Crisis that all three that he gave me, and these were not ones that I selected, but ones that he selected as the very best, all three are quite simply bogus. You can read the evidence in Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. So healing is conspicuous by its absence in his ministry. Manipulation, however, is not. It is front and center in his charade. And he's been carrying on this charade for a long time, and I've told him personally that people are making life decisions based on what he's doing, and he ought not to be so cavalier with his parlor tricks.
Well, thank you very much, Hank, for your taking my call. I appreciate your input, and I always appreciate you and everybody down at CRI.
Thank you so much. And it is tough sometimes to speak with this kind of candor, but it is necessary. The Apostle Paul made clear that even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. The Apostle Paul cared about the flock, and he cared that there were men who were ravishing the flock. Instead of building up the body, they were tearing the body apart with their teeth. We are communicating what we communicate not because we enjoy speaking out against false teachers. It is because it is necessary, particularly in an age in which discernment capabilities have become more and more marginalized. And the reason for that is people are less and less familiar with what the Word of God says. And that's precisely what you should be equipped to do, because if you do not, you will fall over and over again for conspiracy theories or the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org now.
Again, that's equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And back to the phone lines. Next, BJ, listening in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, BJ.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I listen to your program all the time, and I hear people ask, and I know I've heard it probably 20 times, but how does God, when an infant or a child dies that hasn't had the opportunity to choose or however, how does he know how does that work to decide whether or not whether they go to heaven?
Yeah, well, I mean, the answer I typically give is an answer that I think is most prudent, which is that we ultimately leave those children in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. So I'm appealing to the nature of God. God is not looking for technicalities to keep people out of his presence, but rather he has done all so that we might be reconciled to him for time and for eternity, and therefore we can legitimately leave those children in the hands of a loving and just God. There are some biblical clues to what happens to children before they reach the age of reason. For example, David seemed quite certain that while his child had died, he would be reunited with his child in eternity. So there are glimpses, I think, that point to the reality that those children will, in fact, inherit eternal life. But different theologians and different theological constructs have answered this question differently. Some say that God looks down the court of time, sees what that person would have done had they lived, and chooses them on that basis. Others believe that children, like everybody else, are either doomed from the womb to certain destruction or are born to be the elect of God. So there are different answers that can be given to that question, but I think the most prudent response is simply to appeal to the nature of God, and I think we can rest in that nature. While we can't explain all things, we can say that God does all things rightly, and therefore Job knew that while he did not have an ultimate answer to his question, he could trust the very character and nature of the God who created him and allowed the difficulties to come to him in his life, and knew that that God would ultimately resolve all things in a just and righteous way.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Jan. She's listening in Eastland, Texas. Hi, Jan.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I have a question about the genealogy of Christ. We know that he did not have Joseph's DNA. Why is it that that is presented in Matthew, and there's also a genealogy in Luke that's different? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, purpose, purpose, purpose. In other words, things are oftentimes communicated to us chirologically. The purposes, the will, the meaning is being elaborated on in various ways within the Bible and certainly within genealogical constructions. It could be that Matthew and Luke are both tracing Joseph's genealogy to begin with. Matthew, the legal line, and Luke, the natural line. As such, the legal line diverges from the natural in that Levirate law stipulated if a man died without an heir, his genealogy could legally continue through his brother. But obviously, the fact that there are a number of ways to resolve the dissimilarities that you find between Matthew and Luke precludes the fact that these genealogies are contradictory. And again, it might be that Matthew's purpose is to provide the legal lineage from Solomon through Joseph, while Luke's purpose is to provide the natural lineage from Nathan through Mary. But again, this is one of those things that is debated hotly in Christian circles because it has to do with God's purposes in the genealogies themselves. And I find genealogies fascinating because if you look at what Matthew does, he's writing primarily to a Jewish audience. And he emphasizes that Jesus Christ is the seed of Abraham, the legal heir of David, the long-awaited king of Israel. And then what he does is he gives you this very nifty 14 by 14 by 14 genealogy. 14 generations from Abraham to David, then 14 from David to the exile, and later 14 from the exile to Christ. And he does that purposely because the three groups of 14 form the numerical equivalent of the Hebrew letters in King David's name. So it's a form of gematria, taking numbers and developing them into a literary construction, in this case, a name. And you have Luke, he's got a different purpose. He's writing primarily to a Gentile audience, and what he wants to do is extend his genealogy past Abraham to the first Adam, and in that way he highlights that Christ, the second Adam, or the last Adam, is the Savior of all humanity. So again, the answer to the question ultimately gets back to purpose. So it's a chirological rather than a purely chronological answer. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Betty. She's in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Betty.
Well, hello, Hank. I've listened to you for a few months, and I just want to say I'm in awe at your wonderful knowledge and your ability to convey the word to anybody. I'm impressed, and I enjoy your program. But I have a little trouble in my heart with some of the ways that you... I'm going to try to get the question out there. Do you think it's proper to say, even if, you know, you believe you have biblical foundation for, say, going against Benny Hinn or the way that you may feel he's leading people astray, there's somewhere in the Bible about, you know, saying something against a man of God, someone who has been called into the ministry. And so what I was curious about was, like, you know, if you do feel that you have been called to be the person who puts these people in their places, I'm just wondering, you know, the body's a hand, a foot, an eye. Say, you know, maybe Benny does do some things that are out here square that are not quite round, and, you know, he does do some bad, but with the good. So you can't, you know, I'm not saying that you condemn these pastors, but, you know, I mean, everybody has a little bit of something good in them, you know? God called them, and I do believe people that are out there doing it, there are a lot that are called, but there are some false, like you say. So I'm just wondering if you believe that, do you feel you have that right to do like you do sometimes? It just kind of troubles me a little.
Well, good. I appreciate your question and the kind way in which you forwarded the question. Let me say, first of all, Betty, that I'm being asked questions here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I'm not going to be politically correct or popular in my answers. I'm going to be concerned with the people who are being led astray by false doctrine. And the marching orders that we begin with are these: in essentials, unity; non-essentials, liberty; and in all things, charity. So when it comes to secondary issues, I can disagree with a man of God as you describe a man of God. We can debate those issues vigorously, but we can stand shoulder to shoulder as brothers in the faith, a common bond in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. But there are those essentials of the historic Christian faith, and they form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. And therefore, I am perfectly in my right, in fact, biblically driven to point out those who deny the essentials of the historic Christian faith. An easy example, of course, would be a Mormon. That's a very clear-cut example of someone who denies the
kind
divinity
of, a false doctrine.
Yes, and in many different ways. But this is
whereas
also
sorry to shut you short. But
no,
I mean,
no, that's all right.
Like some of these other guys, they really aren't pushing a, say, a false doctrine like, you know, Jehovah's and Mormonism or all these different things. But they do have a different. And you're right. And if people aren't smart enough, or not, I don't even like to use that word, that's very not nice. If they aren't, you know, knowledgeable enough to go to their word like you do and seek the truth from, discern out of all the stuff they get from these guys, then they could be led astray. And so maybe then I'm bigly thinking that then your job out there, you know, is maybe the mind, you know, where Benny Hinn may think he's the hand to heal or whatever. And you're to set us straight on the path that, you know, you've got to seek the word yourself for the truth.
Well, yes, but the reason that I would mention someone like a Benny Hinn as I did on the broadcast today, is he crosses the line in terms of compromising, confusing, or outright contradicting essential Christian doctrine. And it isn't as though I haven't spoken with him personally. I've had dinner with him quite a number of times. I've talked to him about these things, and at some point I thought that he was going to stop the charade. But he hasn't, and therefore I think it is perfectly legitimate when someone asks me a question to answer that question forthrightly. Spiritual cyanide today is being dispensed within the Christian community, and we are duty-bound to warn the public. And there are a lot of examples of that, so this is not just my idea. Paul publicly rebuked Hymenaeus and Philetus, whose teachings spread like gangrene. There are a lot of examples of calling out false doctrine, and that's why I quoted Paul when he said, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves, so be on your guard. I think this is an insidious problem. It's why I wrote about it, and I provide all the documentation. This is not just a few slips here and there. We all make them. These are people who have made a concerted practice of distorting essential Christian doctrine. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.